Hello everyone, I'm Jordan Mylan. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm commenting on what Zara Sultana MP did yesterday. So Miss Sultana is a Your Party MP for Coventry. She was elected a couple of years ago as a Labour MP, but she soon defected to that party she's established with Jeremy Corbyn. Apparently, despite having two members of parliament, there's a very fractious relationship between them. So anyway, Miss Sultana is this left-wing extremist. All right. But, you know, she doesn't obviously practice what she preaches, really, by giving away her wealth to the needy, taking that fat salary. So she's got a sort of checklist list of far left pieties as her belief system. It's all like loony left, totally unworkable and downright dangerous. The important thing is in Parliament the other day, a debate about Sir Peter Mandelson Sir Keir Starmer appointing Lord Peter Mandelson, the ambassador to the United States, making the announcement before the vetting procedure had been undergone. Sir Ollie Robbins, the most senior Mandarin in the Office for Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Affairs, then okaying the appointment despite him failing vetting. And whose fault was it? Did Ollie Robbins have his arm twisted to do this? If he did, should he have stood up to his political masters? But the real question is, when did Sir Keir Starmer know that Mandelson failed vetting? Because he appointed him, I think it was February 2025. Mandelson resigned September 2025, if I got the timeline correct. But a story came out in the newspapers long before that that Mandelson had failed vetting and been appointed nonetheless. But most of the media didn't pick it up until this year. So Zara Sultana called Starmer a liar. Now, he definitely is a liar. I don't think he's lying on this issue. He's a liar on other issues. He's downright detestable, despicable, an utterly vile, evil man. But on this issue, I think people have treated him a little unfairly. Now, Diane Abbott, another far-left rent-a-quote, a professional hypocrite, slimeball, vile race baiter, most despicable racist in British politics. But she made a good point. It was a real drone strike. So you didn't know all that. You were not told all this. Why didn't you ask? Ask if he's failed, whether he passed vetting or not. Develop vetting when they go into his background very, very extensively and indeed financial links. We don't know why he failed his vetting. It might well have been the fact that he had a financial relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, who was then long dead, who was then long disgraced, who died in jail awaiting trial on sex crimes against minors, had been in jail already for sex crimes against a minor and so forth. But it might have been something else that meant that Peter Mandelson failed it. That's why it's sort of highly confidential. All right. So Zara Sultana called him a liar. And then Lindsay Hoyle, who's the Speaker of the House of Commons, called upon her to withdraw that remark. The list of forbidden words in the House of Commons, maybe there shouldn't be, is this plain silly? All right. The is-ought problem. But that is the rule of the moment. You can argue it should be changed. And I'm minded to say that it should. But as we have the rules are extant, then they must be enforced. That is the Speaker's role. I've got to give credit to Sir Lindsay Hoyle, though I revile him as a former Labour parliamentarian. He is a man of probity. He's pretty good at his role. And said, no, you've got to retract that. Otherwise, I'll name you. That is really say, I name you Zara Sultana, and you'll be removed from this house. And she said, you know, I've got a duty to my constituents to tell the truth, and I'm not going to retract. Now, yes, you may tell the truth. You may say it outside the House of Commons chamber. They can say what else they want outside, but is there in the chamber in a debate? If you're whispering, if it's sotto voce to the person beside you, that's different. But she's saying for all to hear for broadcast, and then she refused to withdraw her comments, repeated it a couple of times. So he said he'd given her every opportunity. So I've got to hand it to him. He did not overreact. He did not use a sledgehammer to crack a nut, but she did not back down. So he named her. Now, then she was physically removed. I think she walked out of the chamber, but she's excluded from Parliament for 5 days, I think from the whole building, and she has her pay docked. So, she broke the rules. I suppose she shouldn't have done it, because you can say whatever you want, but if you're outside the chamber, it was more impactful to say there, because I don't think Starmer would lie about this, because he knows that lying or misleading the House of Commons leads to an expectation that you'll resign. And okay, of course, that's not legally enforceable. And indeed, Tony Blair, Boris Johnson, loads of them have lied and got away with it. but it's more difficult. It's more embarrassing. Some of even his own party are turning even more against him now. But that's partly because about these slaughters in the Holyrood elections, the Welsh Senate elections, and the English local elections. It's been an interesting debate. Would it be better for Labour to go now rather than in 2 weeks' time? Because one of the reasons we were going to vote against Labour is partly to get rid of Starmer. If Starmer's already said today, I'm resigning as leader of the Labour Party, I'll stay on as Prime Minister until such time as Labour can choose a replacement as leader, and therefore he or she will be Prime Minister. And maybe there'll be less of a heavy defeat for Labour. They still lose, but not by quite so much. Or is it better to just wait till just after, like, Friday the 8th of May, when the results come in? We shall see. I mean, for a few months, I said he'll hang on to the 8th of May. All right, so I think she probably shouldn't have said it there, get her excluded. I mean, she's willing to pay the price. She's willing to lose 5 days' pay, unparliamentary language. Do we want a situation that they're saying liar, lies all the time? I mean, maybe not. Is that somehow undignified? Or is it better that we're candid, that that is the truth, that he is a liar, but not about this issue? Because, you know, if he knew it was a lie, then he wouldn't say it, because the pressure to resign would be almost irresistible. You know, he's known to be someone who's quite circumspect, who tries to cover all bases, who does his homework, who's known for his diligence, his methodical approach to all things, supposedly rational, legalistic. We might say, well, for a lawyer, what else would you expect? His pedantry. So you'd think that he would not say this if he knew it to be untrue, or indeed suspected to be untrue, because he knew it was a time bomb that could go off at any moment and bring down his career and his government. I suspect that he didn't know it until quite recently. The other problems about, you know, he's the cabinet secretary, he promoted Mrs. Romeo, that she knew this for a fortnight before telling him. I suppose people didn't want to bring unwelcome news to him, shoot the messenger, all that. He's already got rid of two cabinet secretaries. Sir Simon Case, now Lord Case, Warmore, I don't remember the other one. And I knew a previous cabinet secretary, Sir Robin Butler, later Lord Butler of Brockwell. The cabinet secretary, remember, he or she is the highest civil servant. He or she sits beside the prime minister in cabinet, the only non-politician to attend, saying, we'll tell the civil service, we can do this, we can't do this. This is what the problem is. This is what the timescale is going to be. This is how much we estimate it's going to cost. The politicians make the decisions. That's why you can't blame the civil service. The civil service are there to carry out the orders of politicians, whether they like them or dislike them, think they're wise or foolish. You know, despite its unworkability or its workability, they do their best to make it happen on time and within budget. And no, it doesn't always happen. But the civil service is now up in arms. They feel that Sir Rolly Robbins has been hung out to dry. And I agree, he has been unfairly treated. He was carrying out his master's instructions. So you can't, you know, it's like a sailor blaming the sea or whatever. And, you know, responsibility goes to the top. Not you can't pass it down the ranks for doing what you told him to do. Okay, but is it his fault? Did he not inform Starmer when he should have informed Starmer? Was it Starmer's duty to be proactive and ask these things? Would it be political interference to inform Starmer? Who ultimately signed off saying we're appointing Mandelson despite him failing security venting? It's unprecedented. And of all the roles, that's maybe the worst one to give, because it's surely the most important ambassadorship in the United Kingdom's gift. Moreover, it's a sort of an MI6 role, not as an intelligence officer, but he'll have access to a lot of secret intelligence. Yeah, he'll sign the Official Secrets Act. And we know what he does with market-sensitive information. He used to sell it to people like Jeffrey Epstein. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.